Today our lesson comes from Luke 6, verses 17 through 26. Hear God's word. Coming down off the mountain with them, Jesus stood on a plain surrounded by disciples and was soon joined by a huge congregation from all over Judea and Jerusalem and even from the seaside towns. They had come both to hear him and to be cured of all their ailments. Those disturbed by evil spirits were healed. Everyone was trying to touch him, so much energy surging from him, and so many people healed. And then he spoke. You're blessed when you've lost it all. God's kingdom is there for the finding. You're blessed when you're ravenously hungry. Then you're ready for the messianic meal. You're blessed when the tears flow freely. Joy comes with the morning. Count yourselves blessed every time someone cuts you down or throws you out, every time someone smears or blackens your name to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and that person is uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Skip like a lamb if you like, for even though they don't like it, I do. And all heaven applauds. And know that you're in good company. My preachers and witnesses have always been treated like this. But it's trouble ahead if you think you've got it made. What you have is all you'll ever get. And it's trouble ahead if you're satisfied with yourself. Yourself will not satisfy you for long. And it's trouble ahead if you think life's all fun and games. There's suffering to be met, and you're going to meet it. There's trouble ahead when you live only for the approval of others, saying what flatters them, doing what indulges them. Popularity contests are not truth contests. Look how many scoundrel preachers were approved by their ancestors. Your task is to be true, not popular. May God give us understanding of this holy word, and let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. William G. Carter tells the story about how in this little town, a man walked into a bookstore to return his purchase. It's a Bible, he said, and he handed it to the clerk at the cash register. And the clerk says, oh, was it a gift? No, I bought it for myself, he said, and I made a mistake. Well, didn't you like the translation, said the clerk, or the format? No, the man said, the translation was fine, format fine. I made a mistake. And the clerk said, well, I just need to write down the reason for the return. Well, in that case, said the man, write down that there's a lot in that book that is just tough to swallow. And Carter goes on to say, this passage, probably one of those, probably on the list of passages that are a little tough to swallow. A lot of us who started coming to church at whatever time it was in our life came with the hope that things would get fixed, and that if we were good, that God would just overwhelm us with lots of good stuff in return, that all of our questions would be answered, that all of our struggle would be removed, that all of our suffering would be taken care of, and that life would just be easy peasy from now on. If only it was that easy. But here's the interesting thing. This passage here is a wonderful example of the ways that the world has everything upside down, and how our own understandings, because we spend so much time listening to those who are confused and those who don't know, it's hard not to kind of get sucked into it. And as Christians, we actually have to sort of rewire our brains a little bit to even be able to hear or understand what this is getting at, and to understand that the lies of the world are not going to make us happy. They're not going to answer our deep questions. They're not going to satisfy us. So when we look at this passage and it says, for example, you're blessed when you've lost it all. God's kingdom is there for the finding. What it's saying is all that stuff that we get, all the things that we buy into, they're getting in the way. And sometimes it can take something difficult and challenging to clean all that out of the way to make room for God. As long as we're focused on the things that don't matter. And here's where it gets difficult, is that often they're not bad things. It's just that they're prioritized wrong in our lives. Years ago, I can remember that one of the most disturbing passages when I would go to church was something to the effect that God was supposed to come before family. That just really rubbed me the wrong way, because in my life, my family was above everything. And my family is to this day and will always be critically important in my life. But what I had to realize was that I wasn't really putting my family first if God wasn't first. The best way to put my family first was to get things in order with God at the top. And that God is family, ultimate family. And that if we don't have him at the center of our lives, everything else falls apart. So when we talk about this, losing it all, sometimes we have to lose it all. Sometimes it's not in an actual way, but there are things that are important to us that have to get out of the way before God can be where he needs to be. In my situation, my personal situation, I literally did have to lose it all. I did have to lose all the lovely things, all the stuff, relationships. I had to literally bottom out before I could make the necessary room for God, before he could then come into my life and help pick me up and move me where I needed to be. Now, some of you are not going to need to go through such a dramatic change in your life. Some of you may have been able to reach that place through other means, but all of us have to lose something before we can gain what's really important. The second point, you're blessed when you're ravenously hungry, then you're ready for the messianic meal. That's a tough one too. Hungry. That hunger can take so many forms. We talk about feeding our feelings, right? We are all hungry for something, something deep. And if we don't know God, if we don't have him in our lives, then we don't always know what it is that we're even hungry for. And so that hunger, we then make efforts to feed that hunger in ways that are damaging. It can literally be with overeating. It can lead to addictions. It can lead to inappropriate relationships. It can lead to overbuying or feeling like money and things are going to fill that hunger. But none of those things ever will. They've done so many studies, for example, with the wealthy, and they keep finding over and over that they're some of the unhappiest people in the world. If we keep trying to feed that hunger with the wrong things, we will always be ravenous. We will never feel fed. The third one is, you're blessed when the tears flow freely. Joy comes with the morning. When we think of tears, we don't usually equate them with joy. But what I think this passage is talking about in terms of you're blessed when the tears flow freely, I think what it's getting at is the fact that so many of us are out of touch with what we're really feeling. We're continually trying to numb ourselves to the pain in our lives, to the things that aren't right in our lives. And it's very difficult for us to actually face things as they are and to, as Byron Katie describes it, love what is. But see, God wants us to be mindful. He wants us to be living in this moment where we are, aware of what we're feeling, because being aware helps us to grow. It helps us to follow. It helps us to hear where He wants us to be and who He wants us to be. So these are three things that sound bad, but actually are meant to give us insights and clues as to how to get where we're going and where we need to go. But this passage also gives us important warnings. It talks about things like, when it's trouble ahead, if you think you have it made. In other words, that comfortable life that we'd all like, danger. Danger. Because if you think you've got it made and everything's nailed down, then who are you worshiping? Who are you following? Yourself. Not God. Warns about it's trouble ahead if you're satisfied with yourself. Reinforcement of the same issue. Again, you're satisfied with yourself, then you're not growing. You're not being aware. You're not watching and listening for God and where God wants to take you, where God wants to move you, how He wants you to grow and learn. And guess what? There isn't some point in this life where everything's nailed down and you're done. We are not done until the day we go to be with God. We're going to be challenged every single minute of our lives until we take our last breath on this earth. So if you're satisfied and you think you've made it and you've arrived, you're going to have a surprise. There are going to be things that are going to happen in your life. So be warned. And then there's another warning. It's trouble ahead if you think life's all fun and games. There is going to be suffering. There's suffering ahead and you're going to meet it. That is a given. But He's trying to tell us we don't need to fear the suffering. It's a part of this life, but it's a part of our growth. It's a part of what helps us to develop compassion for others. It's part of what helps us to develop a sensitivity to where God is leading. It's part of what helps us to be a servant-minded person. All these things are components that are necessary. And then the final warning, there's trouble ahead when you live only for the approval of others, saying what flatters them, doing what indulges them. Popularity contests are not truth contests. It goes on, your task is to be true, not popular. Now, in this room, we're all grown-ups. We would like to think, most of us, especially those of us who've got a few years under our belt, we'd like to think that the whole popularity contest, that's so, you know, like middle school, grammar school, long time ago. No. As we grow older, there may be different ways that we seek to be popular, different ways that we seek approval, but guess what? Who doesn't like to be liked? Who doesn't want to be admired? And we in the church are as prone to that as anyone. So many folks will get looped into doing things to help build their reputation so they could feel good about themselves and so that people will look at us with respect and admiration. Look at what that person is doing. Look at how great they are. Now, those outside the church, the images can be different of what greatness is, but it is all a major obstacle to our spiritual growth. It's all a major obstacle between us and God. End of the day, it's all about God. And we're here to learn, to grow, to discover. And when things are going with difficulty and not what we want, the greatest truth can be hidden in that. the greatest revelation, the greatest growth. That's hard. That's painful. But that's also the time when God may be closest to you. And keep in mind, too, that a lot of times, the most difficult times come just before a major breakthrough in your own spiritual life. Some of you are going through really big challenges right now. Don't be discouraged. Don't give up. He's there with you. These words may sound difficult, may not be the answer you want to hear. But someday, if you haven't already, you'll see the beauty of what is being said. And you realize what a blessing each and everything in your life has been, including the hard times, the difficult times. We're blessed. We are truly blessed. And He's not going to abandon you. Open yourself to it. Embrace it. Allow yourself to lose all those things that are in the way. Whatever they are, they're in your mind. Let it go. It could be certain people in your life, certain things. It could be a job. It could be an aspiration. Release yourself from it right now. Allow yourself to be hungry and thirsty for God. Allow yourself to cry and to feel and experience, and allow God to fill you. Let us pray. Almighty God, hard times do not feel like blessings. Challenges do not feel like blessings. But Lord, help us to understand. Help us to open our minds and hearts to the things that we fear. Help us to embrace You and what You call us to. In Your name we pray. Amen.